Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. At Camp Chioka, it has been our mission for over 50 years to lead campers into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. These conversations share the heart of our camp family in efforts to lead us all into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Check out our website at campchioka.com for more information on this winter's high school and college retreats. There you'll be spiritually fed and meet a whole lot of the people that you've heard from on the podcast. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Mike and Sarah Ianson. Mr. Mike helps with maintenance at camp, but together the couple has served in the kitchen for 3 years. Whether I'm in line for my favorite muffins or King Ranch casserole or addicting broccoli, I am so excited to see their faces at every mealtime. They moved from Indiana to Louisiana for their retirement, and I am so grateful that this is their new home as I sit in the kitchen for hours seeking their wisdom and just listening to their stories. In a world that values being loud, their gentle and quiet spirits display the servant hearts that Jesus' followers are called to have. In this conversation, listen for reminders that it's not about us, the self-forgetfulness of serving behind the scenes, and aha moments of how God prepared them unknowingly for the season they now walk in. We are so excited to have Mr. Mike and Ms. Sarah Ianson with us today. So can y'all kind of talk about what you've learned from working out here at camp for the past 3 years?
Well, we've learned that we're not as young as we used to be, but we've also learned that how important it is for kids to learn about Jesus Christ and to get along with other kids. Not only that, but how to work with other kids at all times. Because a lot of kids come out here that they're kind of loners. And some of them, you can tell that they're not getting along with other kids. So we've both learned how to pick them out of the crowd and work with them.
And it's a safe place. I mean, everybody right now is looking for a safe place. And it's a good safe place for kids. I mean, there's structure. They get fed both spiritually and physically. And there's a lot of activities. I mean, the kids, they go from the time they get up in the morning until they fall into bed, a lot of times after midnight. And so it's wonderful. Something that they look forward to, I'm sure, every summer.
Yes, we definitely do. Yeah.
There's always something to learn when you're working with youth. I mean, you're growing, as you see them grow, you grow. Because you learn, you're always learning something.
Yeah, and it's neat to see the kids from all over the United States. I mean, I thought they would just be kids from here in West Monroe or Monroe. Yeah. And then you get kids from North Carolina and Texas and California and Michigan and Indiana. I mean, they're just from all over. And that's been neat, you know, to see what they bring from different areas of the country.
Yeah. Did y'all expect to use your retirement in this way? Or was it kind of a surprise that you ended up working out here?
Surprise. I didn't even know this place existed.
it was a surprise. It was just... you know, you never know where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
But things you do over your lifetime, the Lord prepares you for something, because Mike had experience in the pool. They needed somebody for a pool. So that helped him just slide into that position.
Yeah.
I like to cook. I, you know, sold cookware, pampered chef for 8 years. I enjoy being in the kitchen. So when they asked, it was an opportunity for me to get a cook. And being away from our families, it's really filled a void. An empty spot, you know, with our families not being around. So,
having been a church setting for almost most of my life, I was a Sunday school teacher for a while, and then I was I coached boys little league and all that kind of stuff, plus golf, and so you learn how to work with kids of all stature, so to speak. So. And coming out here was the epitome of it. I mean, it's what a great thing to do to come out here. And, but I'm thankful for my background, knowing how to work with kids and stuff, because they're all different.
Yeah.
It's been great.
I love hearing y'all say how God prepares us ahead of time for the things that we have, and hearing already how that's been evident with things y'all have done.
A lot of times you don't know what God has, or that what He has you doing is going to work to your benefit or somebody else's benefit later on.
You get an aha moment. It's like, oh, that's why I went through that.
Yeah.
I mean, in all areas of your life, you know, you go through things throughout your life because it's going to help somebody down the road, you or somebody else, because of what you went through. Because if you go through something, I mean, if you're going through something and I go through it, I'm going to come to you because you've been there, done that.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with all areas of your life. As soon as you go through something, God's preparing you for something down the road. And, you know, it may be 5 days, it might be 5 years, it might be 20 years mm-hmm. before that comes to fruition. But it's like, wow.
In this camp out here, the counselors out here, mm-hmm. how well prepared they are when they get here for counseling and stuff, and how hard they work at it is mm-hmm. amazing. I mean, I've been to a lot of camps, but a lot of them I don't think are this well prepared and this organized as it is out here. Very good.
And you guys have so much fun.
We
do. It's fun to hear you laugh, and it's fun to watch you guys do your different little skits and different things.
Yes.
It's a fun experience.
That's what's so cool is there's so many parts of camp, and we all have mm-hmm. fun as our groups, but also collectively together. And Mr. Mike, you had said that you did maintenance for the school system for 22 years.
I did. I worked in the maintenance department and took care of the swimming pool there.
Yeah.
So when Dave Brumley wanted to give up the swimming pool, I told him I would do it. He says, that's fine. Come on out. You got it. So
yeah.
And it, you know, taking care of the pool is fun. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, there's a little chemistry involved, but it's not that hard. And
it's hot in the summertime.
It is.
It is. It gets pretty hot around that deck and trying to keep everybody to keep it clean.
Yeah. Can you share
keep your boats out of it.
Yeah, sure. That's
the summer we want that. There's this and that gets thrown in the pool. And 1 year, there was a boat, a canoe, got put into the pool. And of all the canoes we had out the pond, this group of people picked the one with a hole in it. And when they put it in the pool, it sunk. And I told John, Luke, and the people in charge, come down to, whew, they said, we're going to get them boys. We're going to go talk to them right away. So they gathered all the boys around, and the girls felt guilty because the girls fessed up, and here a bunch of girls had carried a canoe
pond
a long
a
way,
quarter of a mile through the woods, and put it in the pool. And we got it out, and then we were getting ready, and they came and then carried it back. So bless their hearts, they you know, the devil told them to put it in, but Christ told them to put it back where it belonged.
That's one of my favorite parts of that is the girls' cabinet was, I think it was girl six, and one of the campers there was a counselor, but she was just happened to be a camper that week since she had just graduated. So we're like, Caitlin, you are literally a camp counselor that just did that. But y'all have worked a lot in maintenance. You've worked a lot in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So can you kind of just talk about the heart of service of being behind the scenes where a lot of people don't see, but those things is what makes camp function?
That's where I would prefer to be, behind the scenes. I'm not an out there person.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I enjoy the skills that God gave me. And it's fun to be in the kitchen. You get a real camaraderie with the girls in the kitchen and Mike. And Brad was in there. The first year I was here, Will was in the kitchen. What was in there? He just went to Wyoming or something.
Spence?
No. There was another kid that was in the kitchen,
yeah.
too. He was, pardon?
No.
Well, you don't
know.
Daniel. Daniel was in it, and that was a lot of fun. But you have a lot of fun. You laugh. You learn things from each other. You learn how to cook. The one girl that came in, she had never cooked anything that wasn't just out of a can. And so her husband's really been happy because she goes home and she can cook meals now. You know, so it's not just a sharing experience. It's a learning experience. And I've learned recipes that I hadn't done before and have shared recipes that other ones hadn't used before. And so it's been, but as far as service, I mean, for me, it's just, that's what I like to do. You know, I'm glad that God planted me there.
Yeah.
I went to a women's conference years ago. I mean, I was young and it was called Bloom Where You Were Planted. And I think of that often because God puts things in your life and then you can use them. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
He gave me the blessing of cooking and now I get to use it here.
Yeah.
And so.
And it does my heart good. You know, I don't need anything working behind the scenes like that and everything. When you know that what you're doing is going to help somebody somewhere else. And I just, you know, it's just warms my heart to see kids being able to do what they can do without having problems, like fixing a light bulb here and there, or doing this or that. Or just cooking there in the kitchen, making sure the iced tea's got enough sugar, and things like that, you know. But it's it just warms our heart to be out here, whether or not the kids realize what's going on or not. I mean, it's just one of those things we just love to do. We just like being out here. Keeps us from just sitting around the house.
Yeah, but it helps us to be involved. You know, coming from a totally different setting, because we were involved in our church up north, but our church only had like 75 people.
Wow.
And so, you know, you get involved there, then you come here and it's just like this massive church, because we're at White's Ferry Road. And you find little instances, you know, you got to try to meet people. And that's always been hard for me, because I'm not one to go out and introduce myself. So we help with the food pantry, and that's helped get to know some of those people. We help with Golden 60s. And so we've gotten to know them, and then coming out to camp, and you get to know. So your circle of friends grows constantly.
Yes.
By just the little things that you do. You know, it might be service for somebody else, but yet it's a blessing for me, because it's helped me step out of my comfort zone and get to know people.
Yeah, that's so true. It really is in giving that we receive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just a blessing. It's what a camp. You can even go fishing. I mean, you can go. They have all this woods around. It's not out in the open like some camps are. A lot of camps that we've heard people talk about is they're like in a hotel. A setting like that, where this is out in nature. Kids can be, they can be themselves and get to know other people and get to know Christ in their own way through here and there. I mean, they can meditate in different places, things like that.
That is one of the most prominent things I've seen taken away from camp, is everyone really is themselves when we come out here. And it's because the counselors have inspired, like, we're inspired by leadership to do that. And then we inspire our campers to really just be ourselves. And one of the few times during the day that we are all together as one is during meal times, because most of the time we're all spread out. So what have y'all kind of taken away from food's ability to bring people together?
It's just a fun way to be together. I mean, you hear about food fights, and I'm sure there's been a few of those. But just the conversation that you can have over food.
Mm-hmm. I've heard talk about this. Well, I like this, and I like my macaroni this way. I like my macaroni that way. So food brings people together, not just to eat, but to socialize. Yeah. Just like at any meal, like a family meal. And it is like a family meal here.
And it's fun because the kids, we've heard last year, heard it this year again, this isn't normal camp food.
No, it's not.
It's like, okay, what's normal camp food? This is what they've always had since we've been here.
Yes, we definitely eat good while we are out here.
And that's great. I'm glad. I mean, once in a while you might have a bologna sandwich, but not real.
No. And then as far as hospitality goes, I feel like it's not really talked about a lot in Christianity, because we talk a lot about like mission and going out. But what does hospitality mean to you, and just hosting and loving people?
Hospitality is a mission.
Yeah.
Just going out and getting to know. Like I said, you know, I don't easily get to meet people. So this has been being able to be a part of like Golden 60s. Then you can be hospitable and you can invite somebody else. Mm-hmm. And the hospitality is a big part of it. Just being able to share your story or to share the experience that you've been through, either Golden 60s or Sunday school class, or we helped with Samaritan's Purse. I mean, it's just all those little things that you can share, and you get to share everybody else's life, which is real meaningful.
Yeah, the hospitality here at this camp is amazing, because seeing the kids come in, and from the first time they get here, some of them have been here before, some of them haven't, but everybody's greeted in the same loving manner. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just doesn't matter who they are, what they look like, or how they got here.
Yeah.
They're here, and everybody's just as pleased as punch to have them here.
Yeah.
And I think but hospitality is great.
That's one of our prayers every night is just to, you know, we want to get camp started because the kids need a safe place. They need some place that they can have that Christian fellowship that they may not be getting at home, being quarantined at home for so long. You know, they're not got to be with their friends at school. And they need that social interaction that they can get here. And it's a good, clean social interaction. And they're going to learn Bible and they're going to learn how to interact with somebody that's not from your school or not from your family. And you know, we just pray that things turn around and things will open back up so that these kids can get what they need.
Yeah. It's not always easy to put Christ in front of people. A lot of times it's not fun.
Yeah.
Okay. But in this setting here at this camp, getting to know Christ is also fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something where it's, oh dear, not boring. It's presented in a way that it's upbeat, the way Christ would want it. I mean, it's just presented. It's presented to everybody.
That's one of the fun things to read the Gospels and look at who Jesus actually was and that he went to weddings and he just had dinner and meals with people so many times. And this is the first year I've like had an apartment of my own, and I just really tried to value hospitality and inviting people in and people from different groups just to hang out and feel loved and accepted in college, which there a lot of times isn't a place like that.
Yeah.
And Connor quotes all the time. He's like, the gospel comes with a house key. The gospel comes with a house key. And that's so often where lives change is like at the dinner table.
Yeah, that's true.
So where did y'all, you already talked some about a ministry or a conference that you went to, but where did y'all kind of learn to serve? And what's your advice for people wanting to get into service and find out what their gifts are?
Mine probably started when I was in a youth group at my church. And then just being involved through that. And then in my church, mainly. And then the best thing to do is just take that first step. It's scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, just pray about it. And, you know, the Lord will hold your hand. He will. He'll hold your hand and just take that first step and go introduce yourself to a group like we did with Golden 60s. Or introduce yourself to somebody in Sunday school class. And then you start, or introduce yourself to somebody here. And, you know, then those relationships grow and they'll bud into somebody else and then you'll meet somebody else. And, so.
Kind of like when our kids were in sports, you learn that if you're coaching, you coach life and you coach, you don't do a lot of biblical coaching, but you do a lot of life skills coaching and how to speak. You can't say that, you know, but things like that, you know. And then it just grew. It kind of really started branching out in church when I took the Sunday school teacher position.
Yeah.
And, gosh, that was back in the old days.
A long time ago.
But then, anyhow, that was kind of where I started branching out and feeling that this is – something I might want to do. Don't want to do it full time, but Sunday school, and then just branch out from there. Still coaching, but then getting involved with the church. And I did speaking for a while. Took a class and seminar on speaking and spoke a little bit in different churches, things like that. So I knew the Lord was there, and sometimes we don't open the door far enough for Him.
Yes.
And, when you do, you find out that there's a light out there, and all you got to do is follow it.
Yes, sir. I know I'm very guilty of if there's something I want to get involved in, I kind of look at the group and think, they're, like, very content without me. Like, I don't need to, like, elbow my way in because even though I'm super loud, I really am introverted. So I'm like, oh, they're fine without me, but the Lord gave us gifts, and there's things that He calls us to and that He wants us to do. So it's cool to hear y'all's story.
It's like going to that door, and you kind of open that door, and you just kind of peek in, and it's and it's kind of dark, and nobody's really paying attention. But who knows? You may be that light. If you walk through that door, you might be the light that lights up that room and those people. So, as you grow, and this camp grows counselors, it'll do that. And hopefully the campers will leave here knowing how to do some of that also.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think that you have to have a gift of speaking, or you have to have a gift of something that is out in front of people. But there's so many gifts that God gives us. We had a pastor one time that talked about some people have the gift of parking cars. They'll be really good out in the parking lot getting people directed out in the cars.
Brad Gray is very good at
it's something that's needed, and not everybody wants to do it because it's not out there. It's not out in front of people. Some people have the gift of speaking. Some people have the gift of sharing with little ones. Somebody has the gift of playing in a band, at church, or just sitting there and being a friend to somebody is a gift. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we kind of shy away from those kind of gifts because, that's not really a gift. But it is. I mean, God gives everybody a gift of some sort. We just have to sometimes really look for it.
Yes. And I know you had said you worked in real estate before, Miss Sarah, and then mm-hmm. Mr. Mike worked in the school system. And I know a lot of the times people can feel challenged if I'm not serving the kingdom unless I'm working for a, quote, ministry or, mm-hmm. like, Christian organization. So how do y'all kind of take your gifts and those things, and what's your mindset of knowing that it's still for the kingdom?
I was just a secretary. I didn't sell real estate. So I was blessed to be in a real estate office with Christian realtors.
Oh, wow.
So, when they weren't busy, I could get online and I could listen to sermons or, or I could work on Bible study things if it was downtime, which was very helpful. But it was another position that I grew into just because you got people coming in the door that don't know. And, you can share with them. Sometimes there were people that would come in and they would have a problem and they would just start talking, And so being a listener sometimes is a gift.
Yes.
And we don't have the same gifts. We don't maybe have that gift forever. Noah's only asked to build the ark once. So, sometimes we think, if they're supposed to be something, they're going to be for the rest of their life. But, God gives you different gifts. He gives you different things to work on for a time.
Yeah.
He doesn't give it to you forever. So you have to make the best of what you've got, what you can do in that length of time mm-hmm. that you have it.
That's right. And that's as you go through life, whether you're 15 years old or 70 years old, when you meet people, it's what you present to people as a Christian,
yeah.
how you talk, how you act, and how you react a lot of times.
That may be your one
situations.
Shot for somebody
mm-hmm.
to show them love of Christ.
You just got to, everybody you meet, Christ knows everybody you meet. So when you meet somebody and you get the opportunity, you got to show kindness, you got to show grace and mercy, present the Lord the best you can to people that will look for it.
Which sometimes can be just a quiet, being quiet with somebody.
Yes.
We don't have to go and beat people over the head with a Bible.
I love what Ms. Sarah said about just listening and sitting in the office. And I think most of being a Christian is listening because
mm-hmm.
people will just start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And like the moment that you're about to respond, if you wait a couple seconds, they have something else that's on their heart to say, and they just need someone to listen, and they can usually solve their own problems
mm-hmm.
if given long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Mike, you mentioned earlier kind of like opening doors to new opportunities and kind of looking through the crack but not knowing whether or not to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
It seems kind of dark. What's y'all's just life discernment, like looking at opening doors and things? Because I know I struggle with that of, is the Lord calling me here? Did I put this on my own heart? What does that look like for y'all?
I still struggle with that sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm 66, and there's still times that it's like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? But I think we have to start doing it, and if it's not what we're supposed to be doing, God will close that door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, then I didn't hear you right. show me a different way because I didn't understand that first time. And sometimes you have to wait, and that can be the hardest, is the waiting. I think it's just...
Some doors open really easy, some don't. Just to mention several doors, when I joined the Navy, that's like opening a door because you're leaving home and you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
You know how you're just going to go. And through life, there's other things. There's a simple thing like getting married is opening a door. You open the door to death when your family members die. I mean, a lot of people will just, they won't go through that door. They'll always stay away from that opportunity to focus on what's at the other side of the door. So, but doors, you know, life is just a bunch of doors you go through, apparently. I mean, it's easier to go through a door than just go through a window. So, you know, and as kids, you try to tell them out here to, when you get an opportunity to, don't, you know, sit back, think about it, pray about it. Don't just jump in the water without knowing how deep it is and all that kind of stuff.
That's because I'm 20, so I'm starting to walk through a lot of those decisions that seem life-altering, mm-hmm. and I know they're important, but also I know, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to be okay. So there's just so much of, like, hesitancy, but mm-hmm. also remembering, I think I'm going to regret more the things I didn't do than the mm-hmm. things I did.
And, if you go through life knowing that you have Christ right beside you, picking you up, a lot of that the hesitation is normal.
Yeah.
And the feeling of, ooh. Is this going to be good for me or bad for me? But you just have to have that feeling in your heart that you know that Christ is with you. And he'll always be there.
Yeah. And even when we don't feel that, we have to walk back to that truth. Walk right back to that door and stand there.
Yeah. Yeah. Being human is has its downfalls.
Yes, there it does.
Sometimes you do go back to that door and say, are you sure this is where I'm supposed to be?
Yes.
You know? And then it's like, yeah, then another opportunity will present itself. And it's like, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be right now.
Yeah. And I think those hard doors, we come face to face with our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm getting older, I just keep coming more face to face as this is what it is to be human. This mm-hmm. is what it is to be sinful. And I want to avoid and run away from that. I'm like, I can't do that the rest of my life. Like, we have to embrace our weakness mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. Christ to work in us.
Well, and that gives you an opportunity to share that with somebody down the road that's going through that same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a series of things that I've learned over the years. It's just, no matter what you go through, whether it's something simple or something hard, God's going to allow you to use that down the road someplace to help somebody else.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've been able to pass that on to our kids.
Clarify too. One thing about them doors. Every time you open the door and look in, sometimes you do not want to go in that door because you just know that this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just, you know, when you look into a door and it's something, I cannot handle this. This is not good. Not good for me or not good. I don't know what to say. It's just the outcome is not going to be good. There's a lot of different avenues, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if you open the door to a group of people and you find out that group of people isn't any good, don't. Yes, you are the light that might go in that room, but you also might be the light that shouldn't have went into that room at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to maybe jump back, focus, pray, get to know a little better, and then go through the door.
Look through the window for a while.
Or take somebody else with you.
Yes.
That is more experienced or a different growth rate.
Yeah, that's very wise. So we've been asking everyone to kind of end the show. It's kind of like camp-related things they tell themselves, but since y'all weren't campers here, I want to ask marriage-related because they just celebrated 47 years of marriage, which was so exciting. but if y'all could go back to before you were married 47 years ago, what's mm-hmm. one thing you would each tell yourselves?
That's going back a long ways.
What's one thing that this is going to be good? This is something, let's do it. Let's do it. It was never a doubt in about as far as before we got married, as far as getting married. You know, I pretty much knew that this girl was going to put me on the right path.
I think just thinking and knowing that it was an adventure and was ready for Christ to take me where it was he was going to lead me because I left home, which I had never been before. My dad had just passed away right after I met Mike, and my mom told me on our wedding day when it was just my mom and I in the room, she said when Mike only met my dad once, he had cancer. And it was in the hospital room the day we met, or the next day after we met. And when we left the room that day, he turned to my mom and said, that'll be your next son-in-law. And he died a month later, and Mike was ready to come back. He didn't really know me, but he was ready to come back and be by my side. And so it was, you know, I knew it was going to be an adventure. We went to Connecticut, which I'd never been away from home before.
Just grabbed her and went. And
so it was just, I mean, we've been through a lot together, but, you know, you don't give up on each other. You just don't. I mean, that's a decision that you make.
Yeah.
When you get married. I mean, it's so easy nowadays to get out of a marriage or get out of a relationship. I would prefer you get out of a relationship before you get married, but, you know, because you've already made that commitment. But it's just no matter what, we were going to stay together. You will go through some hard times. I mean, I don't know any marriage that's not.
The next question was, what do you each tell yourselves in the hard times?
Corinthians.
That we can get through this. We can get through this together and with God. We try to keep Christ in the Bible.
Corinthians with 13. Us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Corinthians, it's just one day at a time, one week at a time, you know. With Christ, though, it's constant. You know that you have a constant there. So through struggles, you rely on each other. Even if you don't agree, you still rely on each other.
Yes.
And
we always try to pray together before we go to bed every night. Yeah. We pray together. Told the kids the other night, you know, you don't go to bed angry with each other.
Yeah.
But we pray together before we go to bed every night. And
yeah.
We did that early on. That was one of our mantras, is don't go to bed angry.
Mm-hmm.
And pray together.
Yeah. And with 1 Corinthians 13, it's love is patient is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of love is patience is love is one day at a time, like one moment at a time.
Yeah, one moment at a time. Sometimes one day at a time is pretty hard.
Yeah.
Not to say it doesn't try your patience.
Yes, sir. But I'll pray for us and then we'll be done.
All right.
God, I thank you so much for Mr. Mike and Miss Sarah and the servant hearts that they have. I thank you for their humility and their love for us and for this place. Thank you that they keep us fed, so that we can have full energy, so that we can fully seek you. Lord, we thank you for every door that you open and close. We thank you for the ways that you prepare us for the things we're going to walk through. And we pray over everyone that gets to listen to their words. We pray that they fall upon good soil, that they would see the doors that you're trying to lure them into, that they would see the light that you're shining, that they would see the ways that you're calling them to serve. Lord, I ask that you help us discover our gifts so that we can best serve the kingdom through whatever that may be and whatever that may look like, that we would be serving you and glorifying you in all that we do. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all so much for listening. Since the kingdom is not built in the media room, it is our hope that you take these ideas into real life conversations with friends, family, and the Lord. Be sure to find us anywhere you can scroll at Camp Chioka and live knowing that you are loved.